Even then, she hardly ever woke up next to him. The metal discs in the floor and ceiling glowed more brightly, and a fine mist descended. Christy twined her fingers in Ryan's.
Hope you have pleasant dreams, lover.
Or at least ones that aren't too bad.
Nightmares and nausea seemed to be the two most prevalent byproducts brought about by the jumps. Rarely had the companions avoided them. Christy's brain suddenly seemed to turn into oatmeal, dulling her muty senses with a sensation of being suffocated.
Here we go, my friends. Can you envision some future when we can look back and see our alternate possibilities if we chose this or that option? Could we ever say two roads diverged in a yellow wood and I took the one less traveled by? I think Robert Frost summed up our present state quite well, don't you?
Ryan opened his eye. His mouth felt like desert sand, and his head throbbed like someone had slammed it with a 30-pound sledge. He ached all over. Cautiously, afraid his head might drop from his shoulders if he moved too quickly, he turned to search the Matrans unit for his companions. Christy lay unconscious beside him, tears running down her temples, and blood dripping from the corner of her mouth, where she had bitten herself during the jump. Ryan sat up with care, feeling his head go spinning around him. He glanced up at the armaglass walls, finding them as white as mother of pearl, almost angelic. The room on the other side of the walls was dark, so he couldn't discern any details yet.
You know, Ryan, at first when I saw these white walls, I thought maybe this was one jump we didn't make it through. Still kind of crosses my mind as I sit here. Be interesting if we open up that sec door and step out onto a cloud.
Heaven, JB? Somebody's been through Deathlands the way we have? We won't even get visitation privileges.
That's probably true. But you know what?
What?
Chances are, nobody we know is going to be there.
I guess that means we won't miss anything.
Ryan ran his hands along his weapons as he glanced around for the others. Mildred lay curled up next to JB, almost in a fetal position. Jack lay by himself, bleeding from his nose, his eyelids flickering.
You awake, Jack?
Yeah. You talk too loud.
Ryan moved his blurry gaze on, finding Dean sprawled on the other side of Christy. His son looked like he was breathing okay, but his tan color was paler than normal. He held his Browning high power in his fist.
Dean?
Yeah, Dad. Just don't make me move yet.
Doc had thrown up, and a pool of bile sat on the floor beside him and smeared one sleeve of his frock coat. The old man's eyes were open, but only the whites showed, threaded through with red veins. Albert forced his eyes open, then rolled over.
What a stench. We're gonna have to get out of here just to get some clean air.
The thing that struck Ryan the most was the cold, however. It seeped into his bones, coating the exposed skin. He ran a hand up to his head, hoping that massaging the back of his neck would relieve some of his headache. Then his fingers touched the ice crystals in his hair. He pulled his hand down in wonder and stared at them. He couldn't stare long because they didn't last long.
JP, how long have you been awake?
I didn't check the chron.
Ryan ran his fingers through his hair again. He glanced around at the metal discs of the Matrans unit's floor. Little patches of ice gleamed against the vanadium.
Give me a guess.
10, 15 minutes, maybe?
You notice how cold it is in here?
Sure. Hard to miss.
Fear put a surge of adrenaline through Ryan, giving him the strength to haul himself to his feet.
You think it's getting any colder?
JB glanced at him, then noticed the frost on his glasses.
Maybe, now that you mention it. I just figured it was my blood feeling thin after the jump. Don't always know how bad you really feel until after you start moving around. Kinda wanted to put that off for a bit.
Swaying slightly, his sense of balance still affected by the jump, Ryan put his hand against the armaglass. Burning cold pressed against his palm, cold enough to make his teeth ache in sympathy. He watched as a plume of fog spilled out against the armaglass in front of him.
That's not white paint, JB. That's ice caked on the armaglass outside. We're frozen in.
Ryan crossed to the door. He wasn't worried about being trapped because there was always the LD button that could whisk them back to the redoubt near Hazard, Going back might entail a few days of running from Kirkland or Handsome Wyatt if the Jacker leader had stayed in the area, but it beat being stuck underground in a block of ice.
Is it just me, or does it seem to you that the lights in here aren't as bright as they usually are after a jump?
Ryan glanced at the glowing discs on the floor and ceiling. Usually, they carried a residual glow after usage, and emergency lights flared on until the unit was cleared. Now they were dim, rendering only a twilight inside the gateway.
Power's not what it should be.
Could be failing as we stand here talking.
Then let's see what's what.
Ryan tried to lift the lever that was supposed to open the door. Nothing happened.
Fire blast. Bastard door's stuck.
Try this.
JB handed over a camp axe from his gear. Reluctantly, the door opened to about 2.5 feet before its progress was impeded. Only ice appeared to be on the other side of the door.
What is it, lover?
Looks like we jumped into a block of ice.
Ryan put his hand against the ice.
Bastard thick, too.
We stuck in here, Dad?
Ryan looked at his son, sitting up now and wrapping his arms around his legs. Like all of them, Dean wasn't really dressed for the sudden winter weather, and Ryan could tell the interior temperature of the Matrans unit was continuing to plunge. None of them would last long if they remained inside the gateway.
Only stuck as long as we want to be. Over, under, or around. There's always a way. Just need to find it.
Best way might be to go back. If this jump is going to start out this bad, give us this kind of crap to deal with from the get-go, I'm ready to take a hint, if you know what I mean.
Another jump? So soon? By the three Kennedys, I fear it would be the death of us all.
Another jump won't kill us. We'll just wish it had.
Beats a slow death. Freezing ain't a good way to die.
None of them are. That's why we're not gonna do that. Everybody get set.
Oh, damn. I don't know that I can do that again.
We'll find out in a minute, little man.
Ryan pushed the LD button. The metal discs tried to glow more brightly, but they were slow about it. Ryan sat beside Christy, feeling the cold eating into him more now. He waited for the mist to fill the chamber. It didn't.
Not gonna wake.
And that, Ryan knew, was the size of it. They were trapped. Sweat covered Ryan inside his long coat as he worked with the camp axe. His arm felt leaden, but he didn't want to give in to fatigue. More ice chips and chunks flew when the axe bit into the solid mass on the other side of the Matrans unit's door. He'd excavated a hole some 2 feet wide that went back almost 18 inches. The hole got narrower as it went, too, because he couldn't work the axe very well.
Ryan, take a breather. Can't do all of this on your own.
Fire blast. I know it.
Reluctantly, Ryan yielded the axe. JB stepped up to the plate and began methodically to hammer away. Ryan crossed the floor and dropped into a seated position beside Christy. The metal floor was so cold now, it nearly froze his rear end to sit on it. Christy took his left hand in hers. He was surprised to find that her hands felt even colder than his.
Hungry, lover?
Yeah. Big meal we had at Aunt Maeve's. Seemed to have worked itself through me.
Christy opened the tab on a self-heat and passed it over. Ryan relished the heat of the container. The aroma was thick and not terribly appealing, but he breathed it in anyway because it was warm. The broth and long noodles were packed into the container.
We still have some Blasex. I've never known a time when JB got rid of every bit he had. He's always keeping some stashed somewhere.
What are you thinking, Dean? We might blow our way out of here? Have you given any thought to how much damage we might do to this unit if we did that? Or what could be waiting on the other side of that ice wall?
I thought about it some. I thought maybe it was better to take the chance than to sit here waiting.
And I thought I taught you better than that. When you're forced to make a move, especially when you're in a tight spot, you gotta shave the odds. That ice wall could be keeping things out as well as us in. Suppose we're underwater. Blow that ice wall out. Maybe we all drown before we can get that bastard door shut quick enough. If we keep the hole small and manageable, we can get it plugged before the Matrans unit fills up.
You think that's it, then? You think we're underwater?
I don't know. It'd be just as likely that we're sitting at the top of a brand new mountain range along the western coast that would drop us as part of an avalanche if we set off any Plasacs.
My dear Ryan, is it necessary to worry Albert so? He's new to the worries and whims of capricious fate with regards to these demonic devices.
A man who doesn't want to know the answers, Doc, shouldn't be asking the questions.
The reason I asked about the Plasacs is because we may need to use it soon.
What the hell for, Dean? We still got plenty of room to haul in more ice. We can keep working that hole for hours.
Maybe. But maybe we don't have hours. You notice how stale the air is getting in here? Breathing up all the oxygen, we're gonna have to start worrying about getting some fresh air before long.
You think about that, JB?
Not me. I've been contemplating mostly on how thick this ice is and what's gonna be on the other side of it. Boy's right, though.
You did good to think of that, son.
It wasn't really my thinking. Just something I remembered from the survival classes taught at school. We had a history lesson about miners way back before Skydark and how they used to cut coal out of the earth. Sometimes they'd get so far down in the mine shafts that no fresh air would come in, and some of them died. That's why they started taking parakeets in cages down in the shafts with them. Bad air would chill the bird before it chilled a man. Miners kept watch over the birds. Bird turned up dead. Miners caught the next elevator to the top of the shaft, ace on the line.
No parakeets here. Got little man, though. If he dies, time to blast.
Good thing you brought that up, Dean. Now, I'm gonna make it your responsibility to keep an eye on things. We start acting too stoop for our own good. It's up to you to get us to blast. Dean nodded.
Almost an hour later, while Jack was taking his turn with the axe, they broke through the ice. Ryan was just about to call it wasted effort and use the Plasacs JB had, because all he wanted to do was go to sleep. He knew it was more than simple tiredness, and had a lot to do with the stale air trapped inside the gateway.
Got you. Inside the redoubt. Ice everywhere.
Ryan forced himself up and went for a look. His joints seemed stiffer than ever as he stared into the hole Jack had made through nearly 3 feet of ice. It was scarcely more than 3 inches across, but it provided enough of a view, even in the dim light on the other side of the wall, for him to know that they were unmistakably in a redoubt. But this one looked like it had barely survived an ice age. Ice coated all the walls and computer banks.
What do you see?
Mildred and JB sat together, arms wrapped around each other, sharing the warmth.
Redoubt. But it doesn't look like it's in any better shape than this Metrans unit.
The bitter cold really set in after they had broken through the ice wall over the door to the gateway. Muted light somehow survived from the nuclear reactors buried somewhere below, glowing from behind inches of ice that covered every surface. The companions had broken out all the extra clothes they carried in their gear, but it wasn't much. Ryan wore his long coat, but even it didn't cut the chill by much.
If we don't find some way soon to warm up, lover, we're going to be dead in a few hours.
The ice evidently has been a long time in building up. Witness the fact that there appear to be no broken pipes, no sources of water. It has to be carried in by the wind from somewhere as tiny crystals. Then they cling to other like crystals to form the icy exoskeleton you see overlaying this room.
All of which gets us what?
Why, my dear Ryan, it lets us know this redoubt is obviously open to the outside world. Else where would the wind and the airborne moisture come from?
Best way to find our way out is to follow the wind, then.
Precisely, my dear fellow.
JB pointed to a section of wall he'd been working on earlier.
Takes some work, but I think maybe we can chip away enough ice to shut the emergency doors, get this room to seal off. I checked my relays over there and found that power seems to be getting through the systems okay.
The emergency doors were caked in ice, held fast in the walls that shielded them. The housing over them was frozen solid.
How much time?
Working with the knives, sacks, and what tools we brought? Maybe an hour. But if we block off some of this wind, it could be the room will warm up some.
JB cleaned his glasses and peered up at the roof panels.
If I get the chance, I'm going to take a look up there and see if I can trace out the environmental controls for this room. They should be on a separate relay as well.
Don't like splitting up the team when we're in a hard spot like this.
But you like the idea of sitting around waiting to see if anybody comes calling even less. I know. Been having some of the same thoughts myself. Leave me with Doc and Albert. You take Jack, Dean, Mildred, and Christy up on ahead and see what you can see. We'll be here, watching your back, and keeping a light on for you till you get back.
Sounds as good as it's gonna get.
Was that an earthquake, Lover?
Maybe. But it didn't feel like any earthquake I've ever been through before.
Do you know what it reminded me of? Like a big ship foundering in deep water, battling an unexpected turbulence, or righting itself after a gale has torn her sails to shreds and near to capsized her. That is definitely what it reminded me of. Is that not the oddest thing?
After an hour of fruitless searching through three tunnels with doors that were frozen shut, Ryan followed the main access corridor, trailing the wind that came from somewhere outside. The access corridor was 20 feet across, covered with a thick sheet of ice that kept them inches off the actual ground. It was thick enough that Ryan almost missed the first corpse. It was the body of a man, a pathetic and twisted caricature of what he had to have been in life. The light from the fluorescent strips overhead barely revealed him through the ice coating.
Mildred, take a look at this.
Mildred had taken a handkerchief from her pocket and tied it over her nose and mouth in an attempt to trap some warmth.
Son of a bitch!
She pressed her hands against the ice and got almost nose to nose with the corpse.
Let's see a gunshot wound. No stab wound. Not even any blood. You know what killed him?
Not without digging him up. And whatever it was must have come for him bastard quick.
I thought so myself. Still got his military uniform on. After New Cost, he'd have gone on.
Christy knelt and put a hand over the dead man's face. Her touch had to have reached past the inches of ice, though, because Ryan saw her face nod up with distaste and pain.
He died burning.
Can't be. I don't see any tissue damage that looks anything like burns, and there aren't any signs of it on the wall either.
Christy shook her head, clearly not understanding everything she was picking up through her mutability.
Not from the outside, from the inside. Something that affected his lungs. His chest got tight.
You can feel all that?
Can't do it with old dead every time, but sometimes, if I put my mind to it, I can get a feeling about their passing. I don't like doing it, but this time I thought maybe we should know.
Let's move.
They were clearly in a military installation. Where they could read them, signs were in military jargon that Ryan found only partially decipherable. More dead followed, all encased in ice, and all in uniform. They stopped at a group of corpses lying on top of one another, farther down the hallway.
Died after the New Cost. There wouldn't be many so close. Wouldn't all be uniformed.
Something else about the condition they're in. The cold had to have hit them soon. Otherwise, we'd be finding skeletons here and there instead of whole bodies. Either the elements would have stripped them down, or predators would have.
The redoubt's integrity was compromised suddenly, allowing in the cold. As thick as this ice is, as strong as it is now, there must have been a lot of water here at one time.
Maybe close to the sea?
That's what I'm thinking. That could account for the thickness of the ice.
A flood would have washed these bodies out of the corridor.
It could have, and this is where they ended up. Let's keep moving.
Another thing that totally confused Ryan was the direction they were traveling in. According to the signs posted on the tunnel walls, they were in the south wing, supposedly heading south. Instead, according to the compass he had, Ryan charted them as going west. Ryan pressed up against the wall, holding on to Christy. This time, Ryan got some of the feeling Doc had talked about. It felt like the redoubt did bobble slowly a bit. After he was sure all the ice chunks that were going to drop from the ceiling had fallen, he pulled back. Mildred pointed to a metal canister held in the frozen grip of the ice.
Nerve gas. I recognize the toxin classifications.
Ryan took a closer look at the metal canister. It was pressure sealed, like a lot of other storage containers they had found in other redoubts, and marked with a skull and crossbones.
Somebody set it off inside and chilled everybody here?
I don't think so. Look at the tear in the side of that canister. See how jagged it is? Leads me to think it was hit from something outside the canister, but maybe still inside the redoubt. Could have been sabotage.
Sabotage?
Booby-trapped it from the inside, by somebody who was acting like he was one of them.
Or she. Don't forget which is the deadlier of the sexes.
These were Americans by the looks of their uniforms. Maybe the Russians brought them down.
That would be my guess. With this much ice around, we've got to be somewhere up north, maybe even as far as Russia. If we are, that was a long jump.
And it'll be an even longer walk back to familiar territory if we can't get the Matrans unit operational again.
Ryan checked the compass again. They were now progressing down the tunnel in a northwesterly direction.